What's up? It's your boy KFC. Those are my co-hosts along with me as they mock me. They mock me and my cadence and my delivery.
It's a professional delivery, but like
it's people, incredible. I told you, I love it.
People mock Joe Buck too, so it's whatever.
Oh, okay. We're gonna
they don't mock nobody's.
That's true. My two co-hosts, as always, John Henry Feitelberg, and the third co-host of KFC Radio, Keith Markovich. K. Marco is with us because he encountered a one-of-a-kind asshole in Manhattan, in New York City.
I got a story
that I think a lot of people can relate to on a lot of levels, but I don't know if a lot of people can fully relate to just how big of a fucking douchebag this guy is. So today's quickie is about apartment hunting and moving and dealing with landlords and brokers and all the like. Now, like I said, everyone has their own horror stories about moving and dealing with sharks and snakes and incompetence. But Keith is apartment hunting, and he encountered a unique fella who has plastic ankles. And I'll leave it to Keith to explain just what that means.
Just one plastic ankle, to be clear.
Oh, just a plastic. Forgive me. A single plastic ankle.
No, I got a good story. To be clear, I'm looking for apartments. I just started my search. This will be the sixth one that I've lived in New York. And I've had a pretty good, I mean, it's stressful every time, but I've had a pretty good experience. Like, I've never had anyone truly awful. To preface this, first of all, real quick story. I told John this earlier. I found the perfect apartment. Everything was great about it. It was severely underpriced because the people that own it, they live in the building and they really want a great tenant that they can relate to. So it wasn't first come, first serve. It was just like apply, write a bio about yourself, and they'll pick who they like the best.
So I think I'd be out at that point.
So I did. That was perfect.
If I had to write a bio about myself, I think
I'd
be out.
Oh my God, dude.
You're
going to
hate me.
Listen, I wrote a fucking fire bio. I wrote the best description you could possibly write. I was so into it.
Yeah, but you have like a good life story that you could tell.
Yeah, no
my
shit.
Life story is like, hey, this guy's a piece of shit.
No, I wrote the best life story.
Feitelberg's story would be like Costanza in Seinfeld when he's writing about how pathetic he is, so I can please have this apartment. I need it so bad.
I wrote the best thing that I've written in my entire life, I think. And I sent it, whatever. I'll make this story short. I was sitting in my desk chair this morning. I got a call from the guy who was repping the building, and he said, Keith, six people applied to this apartment on the day you came in. I just emailed four of them and said they didn't get it, but I wanted to call you personally. And I could tell in his voice I didn't get it. Like, he was like really distraught. And he called me and he was like, I just want to call you personally to say the owners loved you. It was your apartment. Like, they wanted you. But the wife had a change of heart, and so they needed an extra night to think about it. And when they woke up this morning, they went with the other people. So I just wanted to tell you, like, they extend their forgiveness. They liked you a lot, but they're going the other way. But it was yours, but then it wasn't.
So you lost game seven in extra innings.
This apartment, I won't say my price range, but it was very fairly priced. It should have been, you know, $800 more a month. And it was absolutely perfect. It was the best apartment I could imagine. And they were like, you had it, but now you don't. And I was like, dude, I wish you had just told me that I wasn't even close. I wish you told me that I was number six and that I had no chance instead of telling me it was mine. And then the wife, I guarantee you the wife pulled up Barstool Sports.
I was going to say, instead of telling me the wife went to Barstool last night.
I guarantee you she pulled it up and was like, I don't like this guy. I don't know what the top post was at the time. It probably wasn't good. Anyway, so I lost that apartment. But if you want to get into the very first apartment I saw, the one that I tweeted about,
This apartment, for the people who watch Suits, it looks like Meghan Markle's apartment in Suits. It's perfect. It's gorgeous.
The one with the one I'm about to talk about?
Yeah.
Okay. Kevin, you saw the tweet, right?
Yes.
So this was very recently, but the day that I started my search, the first 20 minutes, I saw this apartment, and it was amazing. I couldn't believe how it was priced. I couldn't believe all the stuff about it. It was so I'm looking for a brownstone in a certain price range. I don't care about a walk-up as long as it's a low floor, but I want kind of like modern amenities. Like, it's very specific what I'm looking for, and I found it on my very first search. So I went, I called the guy, and he was like, oh, hi. It's like an old guy. And he was like, I'm home right now. Come by. I jumped in an Uber, went there. I was in there in 20 minutes. He let me in, let me up the stairs. It was the second floor walk-up. Showed me around. we talked about the apartment for like 5 minutes, maybe the rest of the time, maybe 30 minutes. We just like talked, like told stories. He told me about his life story. He used to be the managing editor at GQ. He used to be a writer, published author.
Really?
Very interesting guy. Great. We had a great talk. And I'm super, you guys know me in real life, not my internet persona. I'm very nice.
You are.
Especially with my elders. Any grandparent or parent I've ever met fucking loves me because I'm so polite and nice. And I was on my A game because I wanted this apartment. So I went really well. He took me down to his apartment to meet his wife. I met his wife. Incredible conversation. And I was like, you know, I kind of like this. Like, let me, I'll get back to you. I went home, thought about it, thought of the stuff. Like, there was kind of a leaky ceiling. There were some features I didn't really like. So I wrote him. No, he wrote me first, actually, at 1:30 in the morning. He said, Dear Keith, we hope and pray, talking about his wife, we hope and pray that visiting our building had a big effect on you. This is a very romantic building. Seize love wherever you can find it. It is rare and precious. Granted, this was apropos of nothing. I went alone. We didn't talk about anything like love or relationship related. He just said this
he
out of the blue.
I was fuck him and his wife.
Nothing about like my relationships or love life ever came up. He just said, seize love wherever you can find it. It's rare and precious. Best wishes, his name and his wife's name. He sent that out of nowhere at 1:30 a.m. So I woke up to it and I wrote back. Listen to this email I wrote, Kevin. You know me pretty well, and you know this isn't really how I write, but I wrote the most impressive, fucking nicest email I've ever written in my life. I said, your name, thank you for the kind words. The apartment is beautiful, and you and your wife, name redacted, are incredibly warm and wonderful people. I found the apartment stunning. I said stunning, unironically. I just said that. I've never used that word in my life, unironically. I said, I found your apartment stunning and appreciated your kindness in showing me around. I regret not being able to live there, but hope to see you around the neighborhood and wish you the very best, Keith. That should have been it, right?
That seems like a fair.
Yeah, that should have been done.
Yeah. So I was like, yeah, like I saw your apartment. It's unfortunately it's not for me. Mm-hmm. Like, thank you so much for showing me around. I appreciate you taking the time.
You were extraordinarily gracious.
Yeah. And I showed that to my mom. She was like, whoa, what a nice email, Keith. What a great boy that I raised.
Breaking news. Keith's mom loves him.
So he wrote that out of
that
nowhere.
That actually is kind of breaking news. Considering the rest of the stuff we say on the show, that's notable.
So
valid point.
So he wrote me at 1:30 in the morning. I responded with that. I thought that'd be the end of it. He then responded the next day. And I was going to brunch and I was the first one there. So I was sitting at the bar when I got this email and I started shaking. I've never been more taken aback by an email. And you guys saw that I tweeted an excerpt of it. It was 12 paragraphs long, but, I'll just read the excerpt real quick. Showing apartments is very arduous for me. At 73, it is inevitable that the body is already failing. I have a plastic ankle. I have a plastic ankle, but years ago I was classified as permanently disabled by Social Security, and not just because I have difficulty walking, period. So you should have never, never responded to my ad. You have been very, very lucky with your first job, but this type of success is a double-edged sword. It cuts both ways. All young men are tone-deaf when it comes to imagining what it's like to be in someone else's shoes. This type of success amplifies that many times over. It is why so many young people who have had early success die prematurely. It is hard for them to learn that no, all caps, means no. Basically, like, call me a rapist for not wanting his apartment. No
yeah, what
means
the fuck?
No. And that is just for starters. And then you go, oh, real quick. By now, part of your mind is already thinking, why doesn't he have someone else show the apartments? It comes down to the fact that my wife and I live in the building, so I need as much exposure, regardless of how painful, to anyone who's interested in living in the building. And even then, when I make an occasional mistake, and there are many more reasons besides this, blah, 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 there are 9 more paragraphs after that. That is how this guy responded to me saying, no, thank you. You are great. Your wife is lovely. It's not for me. And that's how he responded.
I don't even have anything that matches up to that. That's the cream of the crop, having someone be like, I mean, that was an incredible email you wrote. Like I said, you were extraordinarily gracious. To come back and call you a rapist.
No means no.
Yeah, you have a hard time.
Now, understanding. This begs the question, like, do you think he does this to everyone who says no? There's a lot of no's when you're apartment hunting. Do you think it was something about you? That he was like, this fucking guy got so lucky with his job, he's probably a rapist, and he's wasting my time with my plastic ankle. Like,
absolutely nothing. I'm pretty good at reading people, and I know, like, I'm very self-aware. The conversation was 100% a good conversation. I said nothing out of line. What I did do was, when he asked me what I did, my reflex answer is I'm a writer. So I could see him like kind of dancing around trying to figure out if I could afford the apartment. So I kind of like worked into the conversation like, yeah, we were acquired recently and like we're worth $150 million. And like I basically told him that I do well, like I can afford your apartment. Uh-huh. Like I can put the security deposit down, blah, blah, blah. That's the only like way that I mentioned my success.
Yeah, because to me, the whole like you've been lucky with your job, like that to me, you said that he was a writer himself?
Yeah, he's a published author. He was
editor of magazine. So here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking this guy was a true like writer, lifelong artist, kind of struggling, never quite made it. And now he sees this young guy roll in here and he's like, oh, I work for this big time company. And he's jealous and he's bitter and he's mad and he's comparing his life to yours. And why wasn't that me? Because that's the only reason I think that you would just call someone a rapist after they just said no thanks.
That's certainly possible. I didn't get that impression from our conversation. We left it really well. I said, you know what? Maybe I'll come back tomorrow and see it again, but blah, blah, blah. And then I sent he said that email and I said, no, thank you. But I was thinking that maybe I honestly think he has dementia. Or I think something's wrong with him. Because these two emails, the switch was so stark and drastic that it was like different personalities writing them. So anyway, when I got that email, I was very mad. And you guys know I like to respond to people. I'm very defensive. But I sat on it and I was like, you know what, Keith, be mature, grow up. I'd send it to my mom. I don't talk to my mom this much. I don't mean to sound like such a mama's boy, but I sent it to my mom.
Don't forget to talk to your mom. I sent it to my mom all the time.
And she was like, she's very understanding. She was like, this guy's fucking crazy. You know, you shouldn't respond. I know you're looking in that neighborhood. Like, he's old. He's crazy. Just let him have his moment. And I sat on it and I stewed on it for 8.5 hours. And I wrote my response. And I showed it to my mom. I showed it to a couple friends and they were like, ooh, yikes. Eesh. Maybe don't send that. So I wrote a second draft. And it was much more calm, but I was like, you know what, guys? I don't care what you say. I'm sending this. Like, this is my draft that I'm sending. And I sent it, and it was fucking scathing. And I'm very proud of this email. I'm not going to read it out loud, but I really like.
Give us a gist.
And I was like, well, the 9 paragraphs that I mentioned that I won't read out loud that he sent me were like lecturing me on life. And he kept talking about love. I was like, why are you talking about love? Like, dude, you're on your 3rd marriage. Don't lecture me about love. It was his 3rd fucking wife. He said at one point, he was like, my wife, parentheses, who many people say look like Michelle Pfeiffer. And I was like, dude, your wife was not fucking very attractive at all. And it's your 3rd wife. What do you know about fucking love? And he said, my favorite part was when I was moving in with my wife, name redacted, she had a cat named Luigi. This is out of nowhere, by the way. So she had a cat named Luigi. And the cat helped her through a very difficult time when she was disabled. And
these are both real remarkable stories. They both used to be disabled and they're both okay now. Like he was classified disabled as plastic ankle. This one had a cat fucking perform healing powers on her.
I don't want to talk about this too long, but he said my wife had a cat named Luigi, helped her through a very tough time. But when we got together, she knew I didn't like the cat, and she knew that I didn't like the cat trampling on my Greek artifacts that are very valuable to me. So she put the cat down so that we can move in together.
What?
they euthanized the cat so they could be happy. And this guy was lecturing me on love out of nowhere to tell me what love is like. And he told me basically, you will never find true love because you're so selfish. You made an old man with a plastic ankle show you an apartment.
Be like, dude, your wife is she's best partnered with Michael Rapaport. Are you fucking kidding me? Your wife's a cat killer?
Oh, is that scumbags? You got a disabled, old, bitter, cat-killing, serial-marrying New York asshole. And I can't believe you didn't send that first draft. I can't believe you even rewrote it to be more funny. Fuck this
guy. I'll show it to you in private when you come in here. Let me just be clear that the second draft was not exactly like nice. But I sent it. It was great. I felt so good about it. He wrote back another 10 paragraphs. And I responded. I'll wrap the story up. I responded one sentence. Was it unclear when I said I don't care about your thoughts? Stop contacting me. And I thought that was nice because I could have gone on for a lot longer. And I was like, I don't care about you. And
this guy just wants something to talk to. His grandkids will call him back.
Absolutely. And the end of the story is he replied to that email in 35 seconds with subject line only, no body of the paragraph of the email. Subject line only. I asked you to stop writing to me. please stop. And it was like 5-year-olds going back and forth trying to see who could have the last word. So I was in a bad mood at the time, so I gave it to him. I deleted the chain. I had to search for it to talk about this on radio, but I deleted the chain. I was like, I'm not going to respond to this guy.
You know the huge difference between me and Keith is? The second I got that first mean email, my reply would be, okay, I'll take it. Like, I'm sorry for offending you. Okay, I'll take it.
He actually said in his second one that I'm not going to read, but he said there was a line in there like, after you left, my wife and I talked about it, and we decided, all caps, underlined, italics, we were not going to offer you a lease. This was after he like wanted me to take the lease.
Yeah, that's like, the romantic. Yeah.
He's a fucking child. He needed the last word.
You dumped him, and he. Yeah. I mean, clearly, absolutely. Him and his wife wanted to fuck you, and it was you dumped him.
I mean, she looked like Michelle Pfeiffer.
Fool for turning that down. And he felt rejected, and he needed to lash out. And that was a breakup email you had. That's tough to deal with.
I would have had to get the last word. I would have just wrote, fuck your plastic ankle.
Well, he's in a neighborhood that I'm in a lot. It's like a popular neighborhood. I don't want to describe it because it's where I might live, but it's like there's a lot of brunch places around there. There's a lot of places that I go to, and I walk by his apartment a lot, and I just look at it, and I'm like, I will have the last word at some point. Something will happen. I will do something to end this. Like, that sounds kind of like bad. If this guy ends up, I was thinking more like lighting dog shit on fire on his stoop. But now, if he's found dead, I swear to God, I had nothing to do with it. But I think I'm stewing on it still. Don't think that I'm too mature to like forget about this.
Oh, I don't.
I want to find an apartment first because I feel like this guy's a little well connected, and I want to find an apartment and settle into it, and then focus on this guy.
My attention on this man.
What if this guy like runs the neighborhood and like all the brokers get together and you're like blackballed?
Oh, totally. That was on my mind. That's why I let him have the last word. But once I'm settled in somewhere, rest assured, I will be back in K Marco mode looking to cause some damage.
Have you had anything like that, Kevin?
What's that? I mean, I was going to say, I feel like I've had some quirky brokers, some quirky landlords. But I don't think I have anybody coming close to a cat-killing plastic ankle motherfucker like that. My experiences have always been more, I guess, positive, but like just the New York City real estate situation is such a goddamn shit show. There's so many made-up rules. This much for the broker's fee, that much for rent and deposit. It's like the biggest scam going where you need to have like $20,000 cash to be able to just move apartments.
It's crazy.
The whole thing is a racket.
Oh, absolutely. You need to have first month's rent, security deposit, which is first month's rent. And like you try to have no broker, but when you get frustrated after a couple of weeks, you end up with a broker on a fee apartment, and that's another month. So you need 3 months of your rent.
You need last two, right?
No. No, I've never needed last. I've needed first month security deposit.
How about when they just ask you if you make 40 times the rent? Yeah. Like, no. The rent would need to be like $50 for me to make that. What are we talking about? 40 times the rent?
No, that's not true. You make that, Kevin. I've been able to cover that.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe now, but there was times when I wasn't.
Oh, no. Well, I had to have my dad guarantor it. Yeah, I had to have my dad guarantor it.
Actually, moving to New York was the first time I didn't need a guarantor. I needed a guarantor every apartment I lived in Boston.
But you live with roommates, so you can combine.
But there's a lot of people out there.
I lived alone. When I lived on the Upper West Side for my apartment, I got very frustrated. I finally like contacted a broker, and I met him. He walked me up, put the key in the door, and opened it. I saw it and said, oh, this is cool. I'm going to take this. And that was whatever my rent was. I had to pay that to him.
The most frustrating thing in the fucking world. Ever. All they do is give you a key. It is infuriating.
It was worth it to find an apartment and like not have that stress anymore. But then after a few months, I was like, I cannot believe I just wrote a check to this fucking guy that opened a door for me.
That's why we
got to pay to open doors.
If anybody has lived on the Upper East Side or maybe even down to Murray Hill, you might know the name Babette. Babette is this broker on the Upper East who she just charges. It's like a flat fee. It was like $800 for each of us. So it was like less than half of what it should have costed. And She's this old Jew, not old. I would say like probably like 50-year-old Jewish Yenta. She's got blonde hair and she has lipstick all over her face. It looks like she took the lipstick and was like rubbing it on her forehead. And she's been like eternally single. And I'm pretty sure she wants to fuck like every Upper East Side bro that she comes across. I think she even has a published book about like her sexcapades. She is
a published
trip.
Book about her sex.
I'm going to text my buddy right now. I'll have him come back with the name, 'cause I know he's going to know it. It's something like, you know, Confessions of an Upper East Side Jap or something like that. How I think she's been preying upon young people looking for apartments on the Upper East Side. But she's an angel. She's so cheap and she always found the best fucking apartments. And everybody always used to make fun of me for like being best friends with Babette. But I'm like you, Keith. I moved like I think I've had 5 New York City apartments. I moved like 5 times in 5 years. So me and her were like best fucking friends because she only charged me like $800 and she found the best spots. And I think she wanted to fuck me, but whatever. I don't know. I mean,
Did you fuck her? Be honest.
I mean, I thought about it. I genuinely was a moment. It was when I was still single where I was like, you know, this could be even cheaper if I played my cards right.
If there was ever a time to lower your standards and fuck someone, yep. Like it's to avoid a broker's fee.
I mean, I was also like, if there's ever a time, seriously, like you said, to be like, I'll do whatever it takes. Because again, the numbers that people throw around, if I was a chick, I would 100% sleep with a broker.
I mean, it's some tea with Miss McGill shit. Like in Youngblood, Rob Lowe fucks his like house parent because she's just, you know, that's what Miss McGill does. And also it's like when we were in LA this week and we heard about, we're out in LA this week and we're out like to dinner with like these fucking, I don't know, exactly whatever the fuck they were. And they're telling us a story of when they met a Hollywood actress early in her time when she moved out there. And she was dating a gas station attendant. And she had promised herself when she moved to LA that she was never going to fuck for a job. She was never going to do it. And then one day she had to get to an audition and she went to her boyfriend's gas station because she didn't have gas, couldn't afford it. She said, "Can you just give me a thimble of gas so I can get to my audition?" And he said, "I can't do it. I really can't." And she said, "I've been fucking this guy's brains out and he won't give me a thimble of gas. From now on, I'll fuck anyone for any job. I don't care." This is like a famous actress they were telling us about. I forget her name, but like, it was like, she's like, she decided then and there, from then on, she's fucking sucking. She doesn't care for a job because she fucking apparently doesn't even get you gas in that town.
Yeah. I mean, listen, in LA, it's a whole, that's the way the business works. And in New York, it's like, you get desperate in these ridiculous cities. You know, the one thing we all can offer,
genitals,
you know, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Most of us can offer genitals. There are a few people who can't, but most of us, we can offer genitals. I've never had a problem with a broker. Just my apartments have been just disastrous. And part of that's because of me, no doubt. But like when I first moved here and it was like right out of school and my like parents were helping me. They gave me like 1 year of like helping me and I was living on a couch and like my roommate was just a drug dealer. And like that sucked. like just trying to sleep on a couch. People are rapping on your door at 3 a.m. You're sleeping next to the fucking coffee table that opens up to hide where all the weed is. Like, dude, come on. I don't want to fucking, like, can't they come back at a reasonable hour? It's 3 a.m. What do they even want with weed? They should be buying coke. You should be up in the business selling coke right now. That's like, I've never had a problem with a broker, but like that's the shit I've dealt with. I had one in, I guess it was kind of a broker. I had one spot in Boston in Southie. This is done on the blackout tour when I'd gotten a raise to $500 bi-monthly. And it was, I was living in literally dilapidated house. Like it was a condemned house and I swear to God, it was condemned. It's over by the Broadway stop in Southie for anyone, or it was over by the Broadway stop in Southie next to, I think it was called West 10. No, that's a college, the place I lived in college. There's like a nice hotel right next to it. It's over by Lee Chen's. Fuck. I forget the name of the Chinese restaurant too, but it's all over there. And it was right across the street from the Broadway stop. And it was a condemned house that an uncle of a friend had bought, but he couldn't knock it down for a year. So he needed people to live in it for the insurance purposes. So he was charging me like $100 a month. And it was, I wasn't making money and I was on the road the whole time. So I was like, fuck it. Like, I'll just live there. Doesn't matter. And the showers didn't work. So I had to get a gym membership to go shower. Right?
Oh my God.
And then one day I had a party at this apartment. I don't know why. It was a house. I had a party at this house that people were undoubtedly murdered in. And I don't know why I had a party, but like, we were in the living room and a girl was like, I didn't know you had a cat. And I said, I don't have a cat. And I looked in the kitchen, like down the hall real quick, and just saw a rat scurrying around. And we decided that the rat now owned that part of the house. So what we did is we got like one of those child blockers so they don't fall down the stairs. And we blocked the entrance to the kitchen with that thing. Dude. And we moved the fridge into the living room.
What?
And so we didn't have to go to the kitchen anymore. So that rat just owned that half the house.
What age were you when this happened?
Like 23, probably.
Jesus, that's bad.
It was so bad.
Thank God you made that salary for the boys' money.
And I just like, we were like, yo, like we just like, I don't want to go kill that rat. Cause like that would be cleaning up the death from that rat would be like cleaning up a body. Like it's a whole thing. It's not just like you clean up a rat and you scoop it. Like, that would be like, you got to cut it up. You got to distribute the parts. You got to clean up the blood. It was that big a rat. So we were just like, dude, he has that part of the house now. And that's just, we just lived in the front. I slept on the couch in the living room. And it was, that's, and I wasn't there that often because I was, the Blackout tour was going so, you know, we were going everywhere every week, like for months on end. But it was, we were kicked out of our house. It wasn't a bad broker. It was a rat. Okay, this is how I said. So this is my house.
Bad.
Now.
That's bad. We lived in like a trap house.
It was worse than a trap house. It was a condemned home that was waiting to be torn down, and they needed people to live in it for the insurance purposes. I need human beings to live in this condemned house for the insurance.
Yo, the amount of shit you go through, whether it's paying out of the ass or stooping to extremely low levels, just to have a goddamn roof over your head. I mean, what are we doing? What are we doing living in these cities where you gotta live with fucking giant mutated rats? Like, what is happening?
And it takes, it's difficult to do it, but it takes a large toll. Even to, like the movie, it's not so bad here in New York. In Boston, it's, everyone moves on the same day. So, like, the city shuts down for, like, 3 days so U-Hauls can just drive around. New York, I feel like, is a little easier. It's, like, people kind of just move about whenever. But it takes a large toll on your life, not just financially, but stressfully living. Because you have to be happy when you go home.
Oh, yeah. And especially,
and I'm not. Like, but I know, like, one day I aspire to be.
And I'm very particular. I'm like a little like, I need my living space to be perfect. Like right now, my only criteria is a washer dryer. Like I can't live without a washer dryer. I did that before and I just can't do it. I need it. And that's hard to find. And I am like, I didn't write anything today because I'm sitting on Street Easy and Naked Apartments and Rent Hop, just waiting for new posts to go up. And as soon as the apartment's listed, I email the broker and a perfect one went up today and I caught it in 35 seconds. And I was like, holy shit, message the broker. They were like, oh, amazing. Very quick response. Can you see it right now? And I was like, hell yeah, I'm not doing shit. No one's here today. The bosses are out. I'm the boss today. Yeah, let me get an Uber. I ordered an Uber. It was 4 minutes away. I went down waiting in the lobby. Ruben was ignoring me as usual.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Uber pulled up. I walked out the door. My phone buzzed with the email buzz. And he was like, ah, shit, it was just rented. And I was like, that's how it was probably 4.5 minutes that happened. And it was the perfect apartment. And so now I'm back to the drawing board, and I spent all day doing that, and I can't find one that I like, and time's running out, and I'm very stressed. I'm on edge right now, and I've got these fucking people, like, blank
all the time.
Landlord. Yeah, they text me. They, like, their move is that they list an apartment that is going to go off the market very quickly, and then they rope you in, and then they're like, huh, let me show you a few others. These aren't no fee. It's just a 1 month fee, but let me show them to you. And they're great and they're out of your price range. And like, once you start getting stressed enough, you're just going to take it because you're so fed up with looking. And they hook me every
time. The patience I have for that process, it's like in the very beginning, I'm a shark and I'm negotiating like you know, $50 less a month because I'm not going to get got. I'm going to win this negotiation. And by the end, I'm like, oh, whatever. This place is leaking. The bathroom doesn't work and it's only like a half a bedroom. Fuck it. I'll take it.
I'm at the point right now where I have switched off the no fee option. I will pay a fee. I've bumped my budget up $1,000 a month, and I am just replying to every single one that comes up. I've even extended that $1,000. I am now $1,300 above what I wanted, just replying to all those apartments. And I will probably get one, and I will definitely, I'll be able to afford it, but I will have absolutely no extra income to spend on anything.
It's one of those things where, like, how much is your time worth? Like my mom still gives me shit for going to an ATM at the bodega across from my apartment. She's like, that's $3 every time. I'm like, it's 6 blocks to the nearest Bank of America ATM. Yeah. So, like, my time is more, it's $3. That 15 minutes it saves me is worth $3 to me. And
is it, John? Is your time really worth that?
Yeah, Kevin, couch time is very,
I agree.
Very
I totally
important.
Agree. I do the same thing with, like, delivery charges. And like, I'll pay the $5.99 Amazon Prime delivery charge just because I don't want to walk to the store and carry the heavy water
bottles.
No,
well, I mean, listen.
With Postmates, they do that too. Just, like, you paid $6?
When they say, like, Bill Gates can't even bend down to pick up $100 because it's not worth his time. Yeah. You know, we're not on that level, John. We're just lazy fucks. That's all.
I said $3. I said $3 for 20 minutes, not to bend down. $3 for a 12-block round-trip walk is very different than $100 to bend over.
I paid a $6.90. I was in the office doing the top 50 blogs of the year countdown over Christmas break, and I paid a $6.99 service charge and a $5.99 delivery fee, so that's whatever the math is on that, for Chipotle delivery. And you guys know where Chipotle is.
It's literally right below us.
It is about 75 feet that way. And I paid it because it was so cold out that I didn't want to get out of my chair and go get it. That was worth it. I would do that 1,000 times over.
When I was in that rat-infested apartment, I was next to, again, I forgot the name of the Chinese restaurant right there, but it was next door. And I would order a delivery, and they wouldn't even send a delivery man. The cook would just walk out back. It was literally the building over. It was quite literally, it was the building over.
All right, let me leave you guys with this because I know we need to wrap up. I pulled up the email, and I want to read to you the cat part. So I'm going to read this paragraph to you. This is out of 11 paragraphs I just counted, so I'll read this one. This is the cat part. When I first met my wife, I won't say her name. When I first met my wife, she had a truly wonderful cat, Luigi. And Luigi and I got along splendidly. When we decided to move in together, I was okay with Luigi coming along, but she wasn't. She loved Luigi desperately, but she is also seriously disabled. And for many years, Luigi provided her comfort when she was in great pain. She knew she was causing Luigi great pain when she would leave him alone to spend the weekend with me. But she was fearful that Luigi could damage the many things of great value. (Parentheses) I collect ancient Greek pottery and Roman antiquities. (Parentheses) Closed. That are scattered around the apartment. I could not convince my wife to budge, not even on a trial basis. Take a moment to think about that! (!) Before I introduce you to my wife, I made it a point to say that while my wife is a rare beauty, (!), she is frequently mistaken for Michelle Pfeiffer, (!) Closed. It was her inner beauty that attracted me. So why am I telling you this story? (?) So why am I telling you this story? To tell you that it was disrespectful for you to make me show you the apartment if you weren't planning on taking it, period. I don't get how that connects at all, but that was the end of his email. And then he signed off, what was the word he used? He used the Sanskrit word for peace. It was like Shinto or something, his initials. And that was the end of the email. So and I was so blown away by that response, I almost wanted to reply like, that was incredible. But Luigi the cat was trampling on the Roman antiquities. And so I shouldn't have made him walk me up the stairs to show me that apartment that he listed on the internet.
Back in 72, Luigi couldn't see that fucking the Achilles statue without wanting to piss on it. Therefore, in 2018, don't make me show you an apartment unless you goddamn want to take it.
His disabled crippling pain. Wife had to kill her cat so that he wouldn't trample on the fucking statue of Aristotle. And that's the end of my apartment story.
Well, everybody's got them. I don't know if you can beat K. Marco. Like, go ahead. You know, everybody out there, try your best. But if you can beat Luigi the cat, the plastic ankles, the you're a rapist, I feel bad for you.
And I swear to God, like, people might not believe me, but I swear on my life that I was so over the top polite to this guy and, like, on my A game, just being so nice to the elderly and so respectful and, like, basically sucking this guy's dick to be nice to him. And he told me that. He sent me those emails.
That's what
and
you
I
get,
will never again be nice to old people in my life.
Asshole.
It reminds me of the guy in it reminds me of the guy in the Other Guys when Will Smith, when Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg go to Will Ferrell's ex-girlfriend's house and that weird husband is like, "You want to come into my house and not fuck my wife?"
That might have been it. He might have been offended that I didn't fuck his wife that looks like Michelle
They're
Pfeiffer.
They're all chased out of the street like, "You fuck my wife when you come in here."
That's actually a great theory. I could see they were disappointed when I left. I said I had to get to dinner. Maybe they want me to come in and fuck his wife.
Yeah, I would totally believe
that's
it.
That's probably it. You solved it. All right, that's it.
All right, well, let us know your horror stories and weird stories from apartment hunting life. I was able to track down Babette's book. It's called I've Been Stood Up 26 Times and All the Other Times I Wish I Had Been. And I found a YouTube of her from back in like what looks like the early 90s on a show called Rolanda, which is like some Ricky Lake shit. She did a 45-minute daily talk show where I think she had all the people who like stood her up come back and reunite with her. It's outrageous. So you can buy her book. Actually, I would love for people to actually buy this book and see it like trending on Amazon or something. Like 30 years after the fact, Babette becomes a bestseller or something. It's a $4 book. It's $4.50. So check. And she's like Madonna. It just says by Babette. She's got the one name. So check out that 26 times I've been stood up and tweet at us at KFC Radio. All your other all the horror stories from finding apartments and whoring yourself out and see if you can beat Luigi the cat. We'll catch you guys next time on KFC Radio.
Later. Kev,